Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, say in the beginning. In the beginning. I love that. If you go to the original Hebrew, it means in the dateless past, timeless past. That means way before there was ever a calendar. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth, notice that, and the earth was without form and void. I want to take a minute and just digress. You know, the cool thing about the Bible is it's filled with so much information. It's just layer upon layer of revelation. You could study one verse for, you know, I mean, in my opinion, for a lifetime and keep digging and say, okay, you take it that, but you can also go down this road. And I mean, there's like 1,000 different rabbit trails almost to every truth. And it's always interesting to me as I study the Word that not only is there these different trails that you can go down of revelation and information from one verse, but also they all intertwine. And so you can go, you can be talking about love, and all of a sudden now you're talking about God, for God is love. And then you're talking about this, and then, you know what I mean, then it's connected to faith because faith works by love. And then, you know what I mean, there's interconnections that's all happening. And it's just an amazing, amazing, not only in a book of information, but it's alive because it can speak to us. You can open your Bible and read it one morning, and all of a sudden it'd be the answer that you needed to hear that day. And you're thinking, well, how in the world did it know? How did it know? It's because the Word of God is truth. It's life. Amen. There's some subjects that you don't always want to, from a pastoral perspective, you don't want to get up and say, all right, this is fact. We're going to be doing a series coming up called Ready or Not. We're going to talk about end times. Interesting thing, when you start talking about revelation, there's a lot of intelligent, brilliant theologians, and they disagree. There's some things in the Bible that we just don't have absolutes on. We can say, okay, this is what I believe, and this is the reason why, or this. Some stuff is, to me, it is great just in the concept of dialoguing with somebody and talking. Hey, why do you think about, have you ever noticed this in the Bible? There's a lot of stuff in the Bible, if you look in the nitty, the details of it, you'll say, well, wait a minute, that's interesting. Yeah, it does say that. You know, I mean, why is that there? What's that about? You know what I mean? It's like the Tower of Babel. I've had conversations with people, you know, the Tower of Babel, what's up with that? You know what I mean? God looks down and says, oh, these people, the whole world's together in one unity, one language, and they're building the tower. And if we don't stop this, nothing will be able to stop them, and they'll be able to do whatever they want. Okay, what's up with that tower? Exactly, what was that tower? Oh, it's a tall building. Really? We got tall buildings today. Right. Oh, they can reach the sky. We just put a car on the Mars. Come on, somebody. Yes. Right? Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. That's okay. Don't worry about the news. It just comes and goes. You know what I mean? You're like, what? Yeah, we just put something on Mars. But I'm saying, yeah, it's like, what? There's these things that's in the Bible that we just don't know that just are curious. And so different philosophers or different theologians will always kind of create their boundaries. And the cool thing about those particular topics, which I like studying or like just discussing or dialoguing about, is that you don't build your salvation on. Right. Did you hear me? Yeah. It's like we're going to be talking about the rapture later on. And some people are pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. And you know what I mean? It's it really, at the end of the day, as long as you know who Jesus is, you know what I mean? It's all going to, you can be a pan-trib, because at the end of the day, it's all going to pan out. You know what I mean? You, because we're not in control. We're just in the riding position, right? We're not driving that car. We just, you know what I mean, want to know. And so one of the things that has always been, in my opinion, so in this particular area I'm talking, I'm going to reference it with my opinion, okay, my opinion, which means that you don't base your soul on, you know what I mean? And I'm just saying very clearly, different theologians believe differently. There's some theologians that will say this, and I agree with this form of logic, that in Genesis 1:1, that there is a big gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. Just a rabbit trail. That in the beginning God created, in the timeless past that God created, in the dateless past God created heavens and the earth. And the verse 2 says what? And the earth was without form and void. See, I believe that there's a huge gap of time between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Now, you might disagree, and that's totally cool, because there's some theologians agree with me and a lot of theologians that disagree. And tomorrow I might wake up and God said, you got it all wrong about this gap thing, and let me show you differently. And I'll wake up and I'll say, you know what, I was all wrong last week about that gap thing, but right now it's not about eternity or salvation. It's just one of these interesting concepts. All right? So we got to be careful how we put too much weight on some stuff. And so I'm doing a lot of warm-up to it so you don't freak out. I don't believe that. I just feel, well, that's fine. It's not the end of the world. So you can relax. Go. And I'll give you a couple reasons why. Because one of the things that I know about God is that when he creates, he doesn't create with mistakes. So if God created the earth without form and void, why would he do that? Why would he create something without form and void since he was in the process of creation? Why didn't he create it just the way he wanted it? Right? Makes sense, right? Because all throughout creation, you see that he creates stuff and he looks at it and says, that's good. Yeah. So do you think he created the heavens and earth and went, bummer? I mean, do you think he's like, I got to get back to that one? I don't think so. I think there's a big gap here. Let me give you a scripture to back that up a little bit. Isaiah 45. We're just going to jump through the Bible a little bit tonight, if that's okay with you. Isaiah 45. Verse 18, and catch this. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed, did you catch that word there? God himself who formed the earth and made it. But in verse 2, it says that the earth was without. But when God created it, he formed it. And if he formed it, it had form. But verse 2, it does not have form anymore. See, that's where I believe science really, as they dig in, they really find out that they're supporting the Bible, in my opinion. Yeah, I mean, I read an article that a couple years ago, and they were so excited that they figured out that they had figured out that the Big Bang Theory was right. I'm like, okay, I'm going to read this article. And the reason they figured it out is that they had found that everything in the universe is in constant motion. And if you reverse motion, you know, we have telescopes, or we have the ability, because of lenses, to see out in space. Cool science idea that light moves, right? Light just moves. It moves how fast? Come on, all our high school, our homeschools. Anybody who's been to school? All right, let's just all be in the same boat. Light moves very fast. And light, in theory, continues. We'll do a 60-second science thing here. So if light started here and was, let's say, moving in this direction and going all different directions, and it's moving, so what you did yesterday here is here in the motion of light. So if you had the ability to have a lens to see this point in time, then you can see what happened in the past. That's kind of scary, so... It almost sounds like Star Trek. So don't worry about that. So catch this. So okay, here we go back to this. So they had this illusion that if you watch the motion of everything, planets, stars, everything, it's always moving in a constant direction because light is moving. And if you can reverse everything, then you can begin to see the origin or the starting place. And that everything came back to one point. And they believe, based on all their scientific evidence, and I love the phrase, that somewhere way back then that the universe was created, and the phrase was in a twinkling of an eye. See, when they said in a twinkling of an eye, that really got my attention. I said, wait a minute, they didn't prove the Big Bang, because I know who the Big Bang is right there. I know what happened. God said, God created, and the moment he said, bam, he spoken and it became. The Bible says all things were created by him and for him, and without him nothing was created. The moment he said, let it be, poof. God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void. And going back to the science thing, I really believe in my heart opinion right now, and you don't have to build your salvation by any means on it. I believe The gap between 1-1 and 1-2 is where we get this whole concept of dinosaurs. Have you ever wondered where in the tarnations have dinosaurs been? You find a dinosaur bone? Well, where'd that come from? I believe that there's a gap of time between God creating the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1-1. And I believe, in my opinion, that when Lucifer fell, he was cast down to the earth and caused the chaos. But it was during that time, Genesis 1-1-1-2, you see stuff like the dinosaurs and other things going on. And notice here, back to Genesis 1-1. So that was just a 5-minute science lesson you probably didn't ask for. And you're not going to get any credit for it, so all our high school homeschoolers, so. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now notice what's happening. Holy Spirit's moving. There's darkness. There's water. There's no form, no void. It's void. And God sees the darkness, right? Notice, and this is a great example we're going to get into how it applies for us. But notice that God did not say, no more darkness. He saw darkness, but he didn't say darkness. He didn't say no more darkness. He said, let there be light. Or if you look at the original, he said, light be. Light be. See, some theologians believe that one of the reasons that after Lucifer fell and became Satan, and brought chaos, that God withdrew himself. And when God withdrew himself, because God didn't create light, he is light, the Bible tells us. He is light, and in him is no darkness. And you can take that to the scientific definition, because they even define darkness as the absence of light. So God really was not only created, it's not like he created light, he is light. He released himself back into the situation. And God said light when he saw darkness. He said light when he saw darkness. What do we tend to do in our lives? We see a problem and it gets dark and we scream, darkness! But Jesus said we're to have the faith of God. He's given us authority. The keys of the kingdom, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And all of a sudden that we are supposed to have this concept of the ability to have authority over our circumstances, and yet we keep screaming darkness when God's wanting us to shout light. Yes. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In the beginning. See, I like that kind of stuff. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, or wise people, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and God and base things of the world and things which are despised. And notice this next part I want to bring emphasis to, and God has chosen, and hath God chosen, yes, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now let's take it out of King's English and see what it's saying. God brings those things which he has chosen. One of the things he's chosen is to use the things which are not. The things that aren't there in the natural. To bring to naught. That naught means to bring to nothing. The things which are there. Look at it again. God, he has chosen to use the things that you cannot see in the natural, but that doesn't mean that they're not there. Come on. Do you see God? Oh, of course not. Does that mean he's not there? See, everything, again, was created by him and for him, which means that there's nothing that was ever created that did not start from God. And so even in the three-dimensional, tangible world, everything in this world was created by God. Just follow the logic. If that's true, and God is a spirit, which means you cannot see him with your natural eyes, and if God is a spirit, and most people think being a spirit or he's spirit means that it's less real, and really it's more real. See, when you get to heaven, you're going to begin to see more clearly what's happening in the spirit world. See, Adam was created to fully function and operate in the natural and the spiritual simultaneously. He could work on this earth and tell the animal, I'm going to name you this, now go over here and I'll call you when I need you. And then hang out with God, the presence, the glory of God. He was able to fully dominate his world that he had been given authority over and maintain communion. God created something he had never created when he came up with the idea of mankind. He wanted humanity to be in his image, so that in his likeness, so they could have authority over this earth, bring it under his authority, because they're under his authority. And Adam, I believe, was just what we would call in modern day, if Adam walked around, I believe he was like a freak of nature. He was brilliant. They say Einstein operated with only 7% of his brain. I believe Adam operated with 100% of his brain. He was strong. To subdue something that would try to uprise, you have to have the ability to bring subjection to it. They tell us that a chimpanzee has the strength of 7 men. And it's all about the firing of the axons and the dendrites and the muscle tissue when it goes into contraction state that allows you to be strong and to release power. And I believe that Adam operated with so much strength that he could physically dominate.
Yeah.
Think about this. Can you imagine being just like what we would call superhuman strong and brilliant? And with all that, it's still coming under the subjection to a spirit man who is in complete union with the Father. Man, the creation of God. Humanity wasn't the first thing created. There's a whole hierarchy of angels. You say, I don't believe in intelligent life. Well, then you get some intelligence, because angels are around. Right? God created angels. And he said, I'm going to create something never been created. I'm going to create humanity, and I'm going to make them in my image, that they will have the flesh so that they can dominate the three-dimensional world. They're going to be brilliant. They're going to be strong, but they're also going to have my spirit within them, and they're going to be in tune with me so that he can operate in all dimensions simultaneously. And when you understand that, one day when we get into the realm of God, the glory, you'll be able, you got to think about this. Jesus in his glorified state was able to walk through a wall and sit down in a chair and say, let's eat. See, I believe Jesus was also brain power and just brilliant, 100%, physically strong. Not because he was a carpenter, because the Bible says he was the second Adam. Have you ever looked at somebody and you're like, man, look at that athlete. What does his parents look like? See, he came from the Father through virgin birth. Woo, come on, somebody. He was smart. I believe that when the smartest of their attorneys and lawyers of the day tried to trick him, he was just like brilliant when he was 7 years old, if you study the Bible. He was answering questions from the attorneys when he was 7. Can you imagine when he was in his 30s? Mentally, they were no match for him. Physically, they were no match for him. But with all that, he was still in tune with the Father, saying, as much as I can do, I'll not say it unless I hear you say it, and I'll not do it unless I see you do it. He dumbfounded them. And, you know, you start studying out what Jesus did, and just when they got close, like they were going to catch him, the Bible would say stuff like he passed through them. Woo! Come on, somebody. I mean, or how'd you do that? I just want to know, my curiosity. I mean, when you start studying the text, you'll find out he would be teaching, and all of a sudden he would be answering their questions that they were thinking. Come on. The second Adam, right? So everything was created by God, for God, and from God. Without God, there was nothing created, and God is spirit, which tells us that no matter what in the natural that's been created, it didn't start in the natural realm, it started in the spiritual realm. And you could say it this way, from the natural three-dimensional world that we sit in and live in and operate in today, and we're limited to our spiritual ability because of the fall of Adam, which brought the curse upon humanity. But praise be to God, though many have fallen because fallen short of the glory of God because of sin, because of the blood of Jesus, we don't have to live in that state, and we can grow to a place. Come on, somebody. But everything that was created came from God, whose spirit. So everything started out of the spirit dimension. So when God saw in the natural darkness, he didn't say darkness, he said light. But light came from him, for he is light, and there is no darkness, which means that God used something that in the natural could not be seen, but it was in the realm of the spirit, and God will use that which is in the realm of the spirit that you cannot see to bring to nothing the thing that you think is impossible. Darkness. Oh, I don't know what we're going to do now, because all I got is that little song from Sunday school, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it show you. Oh, I blew it out already, and I didn't get to that part of the song when I'm not supposed to put it out. In him, notice, for you see your calling. Notice, God has chosen the things which are not, which means things that are not in the three-dimensional natural world, to bring to nothing things that are in this world. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Are you getting anything from this? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have, talk to me, church, spoken. And we did a whole series on words, the power of words, and God saying to Joshua, you mean, meditate on the word day and night, and you will develop and make yourself successful, and you'll be strong and courageous. I'll do it, but you got to be strong and courageous. I'll do it, but you got to position yourself. I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now let's move up to verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, which means you can break it down this way. While we don't put all our emphasis, it doesn't mean you don't notice that your leg just started hurting. It doesn't mean that you just ignore the reality of, okay, you got this unexpected bill. But you don't put your emphasis, you don't depend, you don't put your weight on that which is seen, but at the things which are not seen. Because God's chosen this whole idea that he can take that what things that you cannot see that come from the revelation of who he is and release it into the things you do see, and he'll take that which you do not see and it'll bring to nothing the problem of impossibility that you do see. Because catch this, back to this verse. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen in this three-dimensional world are temporal, which means temporary, which means, better yet, it means subject to change. That means it's not going to last forever. What about that? Yeah, but it's going to change. What about that amount? It's going to change. Say subject to change. For the things which are seen are temporal, subject to change, but the things which are not seen are eternal, not subject to change. So the things that I cannot see in the natural three-dimensional world that come from the presence and the revelation, the rhema of who God is eternal. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we got it. The Bible tells us to looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because he created everything. He's greater than everything. And if you begin to understand the principles of the kingdom of God, and not just how the kingdom of the world works, but how the kingdom of God works, you can bring that which is God into that which is your stuff, and that which you can't see in the natural can bring to nothing that which you do deal with in the natural. The things that are temporary, subject to change, can change by the things that are eternal. That's what Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not a matter of, God, please take this away from me so I don't have to deal with it. God said, I'm giving you authority. You deal with it. I want you to operate in your authority. I want you. It's not a matter of, I love Jesus. Let's all sing kumbaya and everybody get along and every problem disappear if we close our eyes and count to three. It's no, you charge a giant. Well, let's just talk about it. Ignore it. Act like it'll go away. Let's hide in the tent like the king and it'll go away. Some stuff just don't go away. You got to deal with it. God said, I'm giving you authority. I'm giving you authority. I remember Kenneth Hagin talking about years ago in an early part of his ministry, and he was struggling with something, and he thought, Lord, you know, I mean, when are you going to deal with it? I've been waiting long for you to deal with it, long time. When are you going to deal with this? When are you going to take care of this problem? And he said, God spoke to him and said, I've been waiting a long time too. When are you going to take care of the problem? Maybe it's not us waiting on God. Maybe God waiting on us. All right, let's just jump down. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight, which means we don't build our faith on what we're feeling, hearing, and seeing. In the natural, we build our faith on what God's word says. Romans chapter 4. Are we doing okay? Romans chapter 4. It's verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. God's talking to Abraham. Before him whom he believed, even God. God who quickens the dead. Oh, you got to just stop there for a second. Think about it. He quickens the dead. He makes alive that which is dead. He brings hope to that which is hopeless. He brings a new beginning to that which is over. It'll never work out. Oh, it's working out. He makes alive. He quickens. He brings life to where there was no life. Because you can define, I would think, death as the absence of life. But God has a way of bringing life to where there's no life. God has a way of taking something that is dead, is no life, has no hope, has no future. Because a dead person has no hope. Dead person has no dreams. A dead person doesn't have a future. And you can say a dead person, you can say a dead relationship, you can say a dead career, you can say a dead finance, whatever you want to put in that dead box, but whatever's in that dead box that looks like has no hope, no future, no dream, no possibility, God can take that which is dead, and he has the ability to make it, bring, quicken, bring life to where there was death. I'm telling you, you got to understand, the entrance of light removes darkness. The entrance of life removes death. Oh, my goodness, we'll just move on. Even God who quickens the dead. And notice, he quickens or brings life to the dead and calls those things which be not as though who calls those things, whatever those things are for you, which be not as though they were. Who calls? See, Jesus told us to have faith in God, and you look at better translation, it says, have the faith of God. It was all about the context of him speaking to a mountain. If you have faith in mustard, you can speak to this mountain. He's talking about have faith of God. You can have faith of God. Who calls? See, I believe, therefore I've spoken. If we believe, we're going to follow through with what we say and what we do. Who calls? The centurion soldier said, you don't have to come to my house. My daughter is sick, but you don't have to come because I'm a man under authority, man over authority. And all you have to do is speak the word only. Because if you speak the word, just like me, I'm in a position of power and authority. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And all you have to do is speak the word only, and my daughter will be healed. And Jesus said, I have not found such great faith, no, not in Israel. The man was talking authority and speaking a command. And Jesus said, that's faith. Who calls those things, who speaks and calls those things which are not in the three-dimensional world of existence, and he calls what is not there and calls it as it is there. Right. See, what we deal with in our challenges of faith is we try to use confession and we try to call the things that are there as though they're not there. Stick with me. See, what's the difference? What's the difference? God calls those things which are not as though they were. We try to call the things that are as though they're not. There's a big difference. See, that's where people get all messed up, and that's what offend people. If you're sitting there and blood's coming out of your nose, faith is not saying, I'm not bleeding. That's calling the things that are as though they're not. I'm not bleeding. Sure you are. No, I'm not bleeding. Sure you are. You're lying. No, that's confession. That's not confession. Speaking the word with authority is not calling the things that are as though they're not. It's calling the things that are not as though they are. God did not call darkness, say, I don't see darkness. God saw darkness, said light. And he released himself into the situation. When we begin to say what God is saying, when we call those things that he says that we're supposed to have, and though it looks dark and impossible to us, God can take what we don't see and bring it to nothing, because that's temporary, subject to change by that which is eternal. And Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not fail. John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. When he walked on the earth, he was the Word, but it didn't stop with his physical, because the Word is a part of God. And when we begin to say what God is saying, though we might not see it in the natural, we release God himself. For the Bible tells me that he watches over his Word to perform it, which means that he backs what he said with his power. He doesn't back what you say. He backs what he says. But if you can get into the place of what he's saying, you can see what he sees that you don't see in the natural. And though you might say, I'm weak, his word said, let those who are weak say, I am strong, not in my strength, but in the strength of God. Why would you say you're strong? Because you're calling that which is not as though it was. Which means you are releasing God himself into the situation. And that which you cannot see or touch in the tangible three-dimensional will bring the temporary to nothing. He will bring the mountain to crumble. He will bring the demon to its knees. He will bring the impossible and move it away. Because that which was impossible, all with God it becomes possible. It's not you doing it, it's him doing it. It's calling those things which be not as though they were. Mark 11, 23, 24. Whatsoever you ask of the Father, when you pray, believe that you have received it. I'm believing I'm going to receive it. You're not in faith. Because when you get into faith, you know you have received it. Well, where is it? You don't see it in the natural, but it's alive in my spirit because God's already doing it. He's working it out. I don't have to move the mountain. I'm just saying what he says, and he says that I am healed. Well, what about your pain? I don't want to talk about that. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm calling those things which be not as though they were. Body, you are healed. Is screaming, I'm in pain. I said you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm calling you in alignment. I'm calling the word of God. And by doing that, because I believe it, I am releasing God. His power. I'm releasing light into the darkness. Man, I'm excited about this. Because in our effort, sometimes we miss out. We start calling the things that are as though they weren't. No, that's not happening. Yeah, it's happening. But start calling the things that are not as though they were. And begin to operate. Even when you don't see light, you can release light. I don't know what to do. Well, the entrance of his word brings forth light. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on what you understand. In all your decisions and in all your ways, in all your decisions, acknowledge, which means look and depend on what he is saying. And he will direct your path. You might not. Have you noticed that God doesn't always give you the 10 steps? He might just give you one step. Lord, I want to know what I need to do for the next 8 years to get where I'm going. I'm going to tell you what you're going to do today. No, you understand, God. I understand the today. I want the today. Don't get me wrong. I want the today. But, Lord, I like the today and tomorrow so I can be thinking about this and where we're going and how you're going to work in and who you're going to bring into my life and what things you have to do and what how's this going to work. Show me in a year in advance, 6 months. Okay, how about a month? Just walk it out today. Sufficiency is up today. Sufficiency is up today, and we can get our mind and thought. You listen to me. We can get our mind and thought so caught up in what we don't know about tomorrow that we can miss out on what he's trying to tell us today. But God, what am I going to do in 3 months? What are you going to do today? If you can find out from him what to do today, 3 months will take care of itself. The Lord is my shepherd. Lord, I'm looking for you today. I got to deal with it in 3 months, so we're going to start working on it, but tell me what to do today. Because it might be 5 steps. It might be 500 steps have to go on. You don't even know. You can't even concept the way he works it out. But you got to trust him. You got to stay close to him. Because your human nature, just like mine, and if he gave you 12 steps, you'd be like, okay, God, I'll talk to you later. I don't need to pray. I don't need to stay close because you already told me what's going to happen in 3 months, and I have to be at this place, and I got to make sure I talk to that person, and I got to make sure I have this conversation. I got to make sure I do this differently, and I got it all. I'll take care of it. And you quit trusting because you can't reach that high place that he's taken you on your own. You need him every step of the way. Okay, God, I'm going up. Are you going with me? Okay, God, I'm going up. I'm getting closer. Are you still there? Lord, I'm trusting you today to take me. My goodness. We're done. You receive anything from that today? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.